Morning, everyone. Well, there it is. It all came out in the end, that's for sure. All right. Well, welcome. Glad you have joined us for this series that we're calling How to Develop Habits That Matter. Today we're talking about something that a lot of people have questions about, and that is, how do I hear from God? How do I hear God's voice? In our house, we have, for our TV, we have an antenna. And so our antenna is at the top of like a 20-foot tower, and occasionally I'll have to go out and I'll have to adjust the antenna for the signal. And so I'll put in my best, you know, bad Spider-Man skills, and I'll go up the antenna and I'll wrap my leg around the antenna, hold myself while I'm, you know, adjusting, and I'm trying to unscrew the bolts and so forth. And I got a guy down at our patio, and then someone in front of the TV who's relaying the message, unless we have somebody with a really loud voice right there by the TV. And so I'll be up there, I'll say, got it yet? No, got it yet? No, got it yet? No. And there, right there, right there, right there. And then I'll stop adjusting it, and I'll slowly turn the bolts to get them right in place. Still got it? Yeah, still got it. Why do we do all that? Well, we do that because we want to tune in to the broadcast signal. Unless we do that, unless we point the antenna in the right direction, we won't get tuned into that signal. Now, we don't get all TV signals because the antenna is only pointed in a certain direction. If we were to point the antenna in a different direction, we would pick up different signals. The signal we picked up, that we pick up is dependent upon where our antenna is tuned in. Now, whether you have, even if you don't have antenna, if you have a satellite TV or whether you have a cable company, those satellite dishes that the cable company sends your signal, you know, receives your signal, and they send it through the cable into your home. Those satellite dishes have to be pointed in the right direction. The same is true with DISH or with DirecTV on your house. Those dishes have to be pointed in the right direction. Why? Or else they won't be tuned in. We're going to be talking about how to be tuned in to God's voice, because the same is true spiritually for us. If our hearts are not tuned in to God's voice, we're not going to hear His voice. It's as simple as that. The fact of the matter is, God is speaking to us all the time. The Bible tells us that even nature declares the qualities of God, the invisible qualities of God, and so He's communicating to us even through nature. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit residing within you, then when you are a follower, you have the Holy Spirit residing within you, and He is always prompting you, and He is communicating to you, but you've got to be tuned in. If you have one of these, if you have a Bible and you're reading God's Word, then God is communicating to you through His Word, but you've got to be tuned in. That's what we're talking about. The most important factor in your life is not your background, it's not your race, your education, or your opinions, or what your parents said about you. The most important factor for your future is hearing from God. It's hearing the voice of God. It's essential in order to have a relationship with Him. Unless you're communicating with Him and He's communicating with you, there is no relationship. It's true with God as it is with any of our other relationships. Unless there's communication, there is no relationship. And when communication breaks down, the relationship breaks down. That's why it's important for us to have communication with God. Marriages break down all the time because of lack of communication. I talk to couples a lot that oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes at the core of their issues is a lack of communication. They're not tuned into one another. They're not on the same wavelength with one another, and so their communication breaks down. And so guys, you young guys who are getting ready to get married, or you're thinking about marriage, you just got married, young guys, I'm going to give you some advice, all right? There are two things you need to know about women, but no one knows what they are. No one knows what they are, all right? You're kind of on your own with that. Do the best you can. Be warm and Phil, bless you. Hang in there. All right. But many of us are struggling in our spiritual lives and in our decision-making and in our marriages and our relationships and even in our life direction because we're not tuned in to God's voice. Solomon tells us that tuning in to God's voice is essential for us to keep heading in the right direction and to stay on track. This is what he says. He says, listen for God's voice in everything you do. You see that? Everything you do and everywhere you go, He's the one who will keep you on track. No matter where you are, no matter the circumstances, if you stay tuned in to God's voice, you will stay on track. That's why it's the most important thing for your future. So why is it that we don't hear from God on a regular basis? Well, the reason is because we're not tuned in. Now, you are already accustomed to being tuned in to the spiritual realm. You already know that. Last week, Pastor Nick talked about temptation. That's being tuned in. When we're tempted, we're listening to the voice of the evil one, or we're listening to our own voice, because the Bible says that we can even deceive ourselves. And so we're tuned into the spiritual realm. And when we stay focused on that temptation, we are tuning into it. We got our spiritual antenna pointed toward that temptation. And so we're listening on the spiritual realm, but that's not the way we want to do it. See, when the devil gives me an idea, I call that temptation. When God gives me an idea, I call it inspiration. When I get an idea, I call it stupidity. All right? We're looking to be in the inspiration mode. We're looking to learn, how is it that I can tune in to God's voice? Well, the passage we're going to be looking at today is in Luke chapter 8. Okay, Luke chapter 8. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you have a Bible app, you can turn it on and select Luke chapter 8. And at the end of this passage, this story, Jesus tells this compelling story. And at the end of the story, this is what Jesus says. He said, "He who has ears, let him hear." What's Jesus saying? He's saying, you need to tune in. If you're interested in hearing what God is communicating, you need to tune in. And so Jesus tells this story in Luke chapter 8. It's a story about a farmer. And a farmer, it was scattering seed on his fields. And the reason he's scattering the seed is because they didn't have this technology we have today about, you know, planting in rows and so forth. They didn't have the agricultural advancement technology that we have today. And so this farmer just went out and he scattered the seed across. He broadcast seeded his fields. And Jesus says that when the farmer did that, there were four different kinds of soil that that seed fell on. And he goes on to say that those four kinds of soil reflect and represent four attitudes of our hearts. And we're going to be learning from this, how do we tune in to God's voice? So here's the story that Jesus told. In verse 4 of Luke chapter 8, it says, "While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. He said, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path.'" That's the first kind of soil. "It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on the rocky ground." That's the second kind of soil. "And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell on the thorns." That's the third kind of soil, "which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on the good soil." That's the fourth kind of soil. "It came up, yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." So four kinds of soil, four kinds of heart attitudes. And these attitudes, whichever attitude we have, will determine whether or not we are tuned in to God's voice. And so the lessons that Jesus is teaching us here first is this one, that I will hear God's voice when I tune in my heart. I will hear God's voice when I tune in my heart. And this is what he teaches us about each of those four different kinds of soil. The first one is this. The first lesson is this: cultivate an open heart. Cultivate an open heart. See, if I'm resistant to hearing God, if I don't want to be tuned into his voice, if I'm not interested in the advice and the counsel and the wisdom that he offers for my life, if I'm not interested in hearing it, I'm not going to be tuned in. Just like a channel on your TV. If you're not interested in watching the show, you're going to a different station, right? The same is true with the heart attitude for us. Here's what Jesus said. "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up." See, in those days, there were paths, walking paths, that were between the fields. And the farmer, in order to tend to his fields or to have access to his fields, he would walk along those paths. And because those paths were walked on over and over again, they got hardened because of the traffic, and they got compacted. And nothing grew there because there was too much traffic on the path and because the soil got really compacted. And Jesus says that the seed that fell on that soil, he said, the birds just came and ate it up. He's saying that kind of heart attitude is for the birds. That's not going to get you anywhere because you're not going to be receptive to what God is sowing, is spreading into your life. In his explanation of the soil, he says this, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away, do you see that? Takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. See, this is the person who has his mind already made up. His heart is set on what he wants to do. He's not interested in what God has to say about it. He is tuned out. He doesn't even want to hear from God. He wants to run life his own way. Now, what is it that causes us? What are some of the things that would cause us to have a hardened heart? One of the things that would cause us to have a hardened heart is pride. You know, we're going to do life our own way. We got it all covered. We're going to handle things on our own. We don't need any help from anybody, especially from God. I'm going to take care of life myself. We don't want anybody telling us what we need to do. That's pride. Fear also keeps people from hearing God's voice, from tuning in. It kind of jams the signal because many people are afraid to hear what God has to say to them. They're afraid that he's going to ask them to do something that they don't want to do. They might be convicted about something. They might be living with their boyfriend, their girlfriend, and they know they probably should, and they're hearing what God has to say about that. They don't like hearing that. They're afraid that God might ask them to do something about their attitude or the lack of patience or this problem they've kept having in their life over and over again, and they know they need to do something about it, but they don't want to hear what God's going to say about it because they're afraid that he's going to be asking them to do something that they don't want to do. Bitterness is another reason why our hearts might be hard, because many people, maybe even you, are holding on to a grudge, holding on to unforgiveness, and you're bitter about it. You've been hurt in life. You might be blaming God for it, and your heart has grown closed, and it's grown hard toward God. There are a lot of reasons probably that we can point to as to why my heart might be closed to God, but how do I cultivate an open heart? What insight does the Bible give to me about how to open up my closed heart? Well, James says it this way. He says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. He's saying the first step is you need to turn your back on your way. You cannot be tuned into God's voice and continue in your way. So he says, turn your back on all of that. And then he says, humbly accept. That's the opposite of pride. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. See, a receptive heart is a humble heart. It's a heart that doesn't feel like it's got it all figured out. It's a heart that's eager to follow God's direction. It's a heart that is forgiving. It's one that's ready to receive and ready to accept what God is trying to communicate to us through his word. The first lesson that Jesus teaches us is we need to cultivate an open heart. If I'm going to hear God's voice, I got to tune in my heart and I got to cultivate an open heart. The second lesson he teaches us is to take time to listen. You know, when I'm in a hurry, it's really hard to hear God. Julie and I had a chance to go to the Grand Canyon a few years ago. Great experience. If you've never been to Grand Canyon, you need to go. It's a great experience. And we started out our tour of the Grand Canyon just like most everybody else. We were kind of walking along the rim, and we were taking our shots. You know, we were getting those little areas we pull off, you know, when we take a shot. And then we realized, hey, you know what? We could take a path. We can take a path down into the canyon. Now, we didn't have time to go all the way down, but we thought, you know, we're going to experience the canyon in a whole new way. Rather than just taking, you know, the same kinds of panoramic shots all the time, we're going to get down into the canyon. We're going to experience the canyon more. And we feel like that our experience was much better because we did that than if we had just stayed at the rim. And we saw so many people who were on bus tours, or they just didn't have time to do anything else, or they just stayed along the rim. Well, they had a much more superficial experience than we had because we had a chance to go down in the canyon and experience it in a new way. You know, Jesus says that the shallow soil, the rocky soil, represents a superficial heart. It's a heart that doesn't really take time to listen and to apply what God is communicating. This is what Jesus says about it. He says, some seed fell on the rocky ground. That's talking about rock underneath, thin topsoil on top. That's what it's talking about. And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, then the time of testing, they fall away. See, with this kind of attitude, we hear God's voice and we get excited about it. We're really excited about what we heard and we respond to it initially. It just doesn't make any lasting change. We don't give it time to sink in. We don't contemplate it enough. We don't take what we have heard and take the next step in our spiritual life. We get moved emotionally, but it doesn't really change us. I hear many people week after week here at Grace talking to Pastor Bob or to Pastor Nick after a message, and they'll talk about how great the message was and how moved they were by it. And it was a good message. I'm sure they were moved by it. But I wonder how much change, how much transformation is happening? Or will their life revert back to the way it was before? Some of you read your Bible regularly or maybe even every day. If I were to ask you, did you read your Bible today? Many times you would say yes, but here's my question. What did you do with what you read? Were you just excited to learn something new? Were you moved emotionally maybe by something you read? Did you think to yourself, man, this is a great insight, but did you do anything with what you read? Was there an application that you made to your life that day? Did it make a difference? That's the seed that falls on the shallow soil. You're touched, but not transformed. As soon as the emotion is gone, nothing happens because you haven't allowed the Word of God to penetrate into your heart. That's why we give you an opportunity to take notes. In your worship program, there's a whole page that says notes, and you can take notes. Why? Why do we do that? Because research has indicated that you and I forget 90 to 95% of what we hear within 72 hours. And someone has wisely said that the shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory. And I think that's true. Now, some of you are sitting there and you look all spiritual and you look like you're paying attention, but here's what I know. I know it's going in one ear and out the other. You're thinking about the games this afternoon. They're going to be good games, aren't they? You're going to think about the games. You're thinking about Bob Evans, whatever it might be. And you're going to forget what I said by the time you get out to your car, right? That's the shallow soil. And here's the sad thing. When the trials and the troubles and the difficulties and the heartache come your way, if you have a heart that's shallow soil and hasn't been tuned in to what God is communicating, you're going to fall away. You're going to wither up. Your spiritual life is going to wither up, it's going to dry up, and it's going to blow away. In the second week of this series, we talked about how to read interactively with your Bible. Be an active reader. And we talked about highlighting and writing down next steps in your margin. Why do we do that? Because we really want what you read here to make a difference here. We don't want to be a people with a heart, with an attitude that is reflected by the shallow soil. Cultivate an open heart. Take time to listen. Third, Jesus teaches us to eliminate distractions. You might not be hearing God's voice because all the circuits are busy. Jesus described it this way. He said, other seed fell among the thorns which grew up with it and choked the plants. Our tech director has done a good job of communicating to me and to educating me about the number of waves, the sound waves and electronic waves that are going through our building. With TV and with communications and with emergency person and all that, all those waves are cutting through this room. And all it takes is one of those waves to be at the same frequency as one of our microphones, and boom, it cuts out. It jams the signal. Why? Because it's too busy. It can be the same way with our hearts. We can be so preoccupied with certain aspects of our lives that we forget the most important aspect of our lives. And we jam God's signal when he's trying to communicate to us. We might be so tuned into our work. We might be so tuned in to entertainment. We might be so tuned into TV or to movies or to our Xbox or to our PlayStation or to the internet or to hobbies or to recreation. We get so tuned in to all these other signals that they're jamming God's frequency in our hearts. This is what Jesus said about the seed that was sown among the weeds. He said, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, So you might be hearing something today. You might be hearing something in your group. You might be hearing something as you read your Bible on your own. But then as you go on your way, as you get on with your life, here's what happens. They are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Jesus identifies three interferences that jam the frequency of God's voice in our lives. The first one is worries. We get so focused on the stresses of life, the problems and the pressures of daily life that we can't hear God's voice. It jams our signal. Rather than trusting God, we get worried about things. And why don't we trust God? Because our heart is shallow. And we get so preoccupied with the worries that it jams God's signal. Riches. We can be so busy trying to make a living that we don't make a life. We're concerned about how much money we're making. We're concerned about making more. We're concerned about saving. We're concerned about our future, whatever it might be, paying our bills. We get so concerned about that rather than trusting God. And why don't we trust God? Because our hearts are shallow. And the cares of the riches jam God's signal in our lives. Jesus identifies pleasures. Now, there's nothing wrong with pleasure. God has created us to enjoy life, no doubt about it. But some people are so focused on having fun and being entertained all the time that it jams God's signal in your life. The soil with the weeds represents a preoccupied heart. Let me ask you a question. What do you have to do to get weeds in your garden? What do you got to do? You got to plant them? No. They just come up, don't they? Weeds in your garden are a sign of neglect. If you've got weeds in your spiritual life, it's a sign of neglect. If you have a preoccupied heart, it's a sign of neglect. You're not tending your spiritual garden. You're not tending to your heart. Here's what I want to ever do. Everybody take a deep breath right now. Cleansing breath, ready? Now. Look at this next verse. Be still and know that I am God. One of the antidotes to a preoccupied heart is just to sit down. Extend your spiritual antenna. And know that God is God. And calm down and focus on Him. If you have a preoccupied heart, sit down, shut up, and listen. And listen. The next lesson Jesus talks about is cooperate with what He says. Here's the thing. Jesus talks to people who have already decided in advance that they're going to listen to Him. They've already decided that they're going to follow through what He communicates to them. God talks to people who say yes. God talks to people whose hearts are already inclined to Him. God talks to people whose disposition is to say yes. Yes, God, I'll do whatever you want. Yes, God, when I read something, I'm going to put it into practice. Yes, that point in your life, that part of my life you're pointing out, yes, I'm going to change that. Yes, I want to follow your way. That's the person that God communicates to. This is what Jesus said about the good soil. He said, still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. It's a fruitful life. The seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. These are the people who are saying, yes, yes, I'm open. Who hear, notice the progression here, who hear, who retain, not shallow soil, who retain, and who persevere, who continue putting into practice what God has communicated to them and empowered them to do. What if every day you and I got up and we said, yes, yes, God, whatever you're going to point out to me today, I'm in. Whatever you show me in your word, I'm in. Whatever you communicate to me, I'm in. Whatever you say, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, yes, I'm in. Yes, my answer is yes. I'm telling you right now, before you even communicate anything to me, yes, yes. That's the heart that's open to God. But if you're someone who's saying, God, here's what I want you to do. You tell me your plan. I'll compare it to mine. And then I'll figure out which one is the better plan. You've tuned out. You've jammed the signal. You're not interested in listening to God. You're not tuned into God's voice. You're tuned into your own convenience. God doesn't reveal his word and his will to people to debate it. It's not up for debate. If it's up for debate in your heart, you've tuned him out. The good soil represents a willing heart. Now let me give you two things to do that will help you cultivate an open heart, to take time to listen, to eliminate distractions, and to cooperate with his ways. Two things here. Number one, I want you to develop, have a daily time with God, a daily time with God. That time should include you hearing from God and God hearing from you. You hear from God primarily through his word. We talked in the second week of this series, we talked about having a daily Bible reading plan, but not just reading it and not just checking it off saying, yes, God, whatever you show to me, I want to do. I'm in. Show me what you have for me, and I'm going to put it into practice in my life. I'm going to read it, I'm going to retain it, and I'm going to persevere, and I'm going to continue doing it. And then God needs to hear from you. We call that prayer, but it's just God hearing from you. You just communicate to him. Now, here's what I'm going to do for you. When church is over this afternoon, I'm going to post on my Facebook account, I'm going to post for you a link to a place on our website where it will give you a guideline about how to have a time with God. All right? It'll give you some guidelines for it. I think it'll help you out. So that's the first thing. Have a daily time with God. Number two, attend a grace group. Why? Because these groups are filled with people who are also looking to be transformed by God's word. And you're going to be hearing from them what God is doing in their life. And because they're interested in being transformed by God's word, they're going to make investments into your group that will help you hear from God. If you've not yet signed up for a grace group, you're not part of one, the Next Step kiosk out there in the hallway, they'll be able to sign you up. Just walk out there, someone will help you sign up for one of our grace groups. There's something called an echocardiogram. You heard of it before? Echocardiogram is a device that essentially takes a picture of your heart. And the physician can see the condition of your heart. They can see the condition of the heart muscle. They can see the condition of the chambers, of the valves, and those sorts of things, and the blood flow and everything that's going on in your heart. Here's something that occurred to me this week. What if there was a spiritual echocardiogram? What if there was an echocardiogram that would take a picture, as it were, of your spiritual heart? Now, God already knows. I get that. But what if there were a spiritual echocardiogram? I wonder what the physician would say. Would he say that you've got a closed heart? Would it show a preoccupied heart? Would it show a shallow heart? Would it show a willing heart? What would your spiritual echocardiogram show? Some of you have come to this morning and for most of your life, you felt like you had it all figured out. You were taking control of things. You were taking control of your job. You were taking control of your life. You were taking control of your relationships, all that kind of stuff. And you felt like you had everything under control. And something happened. Something happened. You realized, wait a minute. I don't think I'm in this control as much as I thought I was. Maybe there's something else there for me. And this morning, God is prompting your heart. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is active in this room. And he's active in our lives. And that he is prompting your heart. Here's my question. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to continue adjusting your spiritual antenna to tune in to what God is communicating? Because he's saying, I want in. I want into your life. I want into your heart. I want to lead your life. I want to transform your life. And you're being prompted about that right now. Are you going to tune in? You know, the Bible is really very clear about what it takes what's required in order to have a relationship with him through the person of Jesus Christ. And actually, it's pretty simple. It doesn't mean it's not meaningful. It's actually pretty simple. But here's what it requires. It requires us to swallow our pride. Here's what the Bible has to say about how to begin a relationship with Jesus. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. What that's saying is that if I trust in Jesus' death in my behalf for the forgiveness of my sin, to pay the penalty for my wrongdoing for a holy God, and I'm trusting in his resurrection to give me life, if I'm counting on that, then and I declare it, then the Bible says that I will be rescued, I will be saved. God will be leading my life and he will transform my heart. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. I'm going to give you an opportunity to openly declare your faith. On the response card, right here in this white box, it says, my next step, prayer request. I just want you to write the word believe. Just write the word believe. Our band's going to be leading us in a closing song. Before they do that, while they're doing that, I just want you to write the word believe. That'll let me know that you're making a commitment to become a follower of Jesus Christ today, and you're looking to take your next spiritual steps. For others of you, you're thinking about that spiritual echocardiogram, and you're thinking, man, I wonder what that looks like for me. And wherever that is, don't leave here today. Don't have a shallow soil heart. Don't have a closed heart. Don't have a preoccupied heart. Allow yourself to have a willing heart today. And say, yes, God, that thing you're pointing out right now in my heart, that thing I'm most nervous about, I'm saying yes. I'm trusting you with it. I'm saying yes. I'm giving you, I'm taking my first step in having a willing heart. I am saying yes. If you want me to pray along with you about what that is, as the band sings, just write that down in that box, and I will pray along with you about that this week. What if all of us woke up every day and we said, yes. Just think about the steps, the progress you'd be making in your spiritual life. Those things that are holding you back right now because you're not taking the steps. You don't have a willing heart. You're not saying yes. What if you began saying yes? And what if you kept saying yes? And what if God kept revealing more and more, and you kept doing it more and more, and you start putting it into practice more and more? Just think about where your life would be. Just because you have a willing heart. Will that be you today? Will you have a willing heart? I will only hear God's voice when I tune in my heart, when I lean in to what God is saying, when I'm hanging on every word that God is communicating to me. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, my prayer is simple. Enable us to have a willing heart. May we say yes to you today. For some, it will be for salvation, for faith that will bring about a new spiritual life. It's for those who write the word believe on their card. For the rest of us, it's saying, yes, God, I will do what you ask me to do. In Jesus' name, amen.